He's talking to the Rolex wearing.
Woo!
Diamond ring wearing.
Woo!
Kiss stealing.
Woo!
Wheel and dealing.
Woo!
Limousine ride.
Woo!
Jet flying.
Woo!
Suck it up, look up.
Woo!
And I'm having an all time.
Holy Hannigan's down.
Now give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo!
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand or demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you dig that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore. Gilmore.
Welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
Welcome to the show today. Thank you. If you are tuning in via BradGilmoreShow.com, if you're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, or on the brand new Podbean app available in the iTunes Store, thank you for listening to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. We have a great show for you today, another simulcast between myself and TP the Topolsky Podcast, along with Mr. Matthew Topolsky. Happy birthday to Mr. Matt Topolsky today, Friday, April the 24th. It is his birthday. Everyone go shout out Matt Topolsky on social media. Wish him a happy birthday. A lot to get to today, but I'm going to keep this intro short so we can get to our Extreme Rules predictions, our preview show of the upcoming pay-per-view event live on the WWE Network this Sunday. It's Extreme Rules. We'll be talking more about that in a second. But first, let me just plug a couple things, and we're going to get into the morning music mix, and boom, back out. So first off, make sure you tune in to Heated Conversations tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 610. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on Play.it, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio. We're going to be talking to Stevie Ray about, once again, Mayweather Pacquiao. We're going to be talking some of the other boxing matches that are coming up. Also, we preview the UFC 186 card going down tomorrow night. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson is defending his UFC flyweight championship, and it's going to be a great, great show. Also, Rampage Jackson is back. Quentin Rampage Jackson is back in the UFC. We're going to see what he has to offer, so make sure you check that out tomorrow night. Also, this Saturday will be the debut edition of Back to the Future, the podcast. Make sure you go over to backtothefuturepod.com. Follow on Twitter at BTTFpod on Twitter. And if you want to send emails, I think it's BTTFpodcast@gmail.com. I don't know. I forgot the email. But we're going to be talking about all things Back to the Future, as well as a preview for the first movie in the trilogy, Back to the Future Part 1. We're going to be given the preview, the kickoff show to that, starting tomorrow morning at 1:23 a.m. in 0 seconds. So make sure you tune into that and subscribe to that on iTunes. That's Back to the Future, the podcast, hosted by your man Brad Gilmore. Without further ado, let's get into this morning music mix. It's Dance Floor to the Sun by 2011, and then we'll be back with the simulcast, TP, the Topolsky Podcast, the Brad Gilmore Show on demand, talking Extreme Rules. We'll be back.
That body, I wanna do. Damn, girl, I'm feeling you. So let's just do. And me, I'm in that place you wanna be. Yeah, girl, I'm talking VIP. So let's just be. So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way too soon.
boast, but I'm just trying to figure out if I love you though. Cause you know what they say about your type. Off-white, model like, only order salads right. Petite, with an accent that's thick as hell. Real sweet, with some eyes like you're from Brazil. And well, I can tell that you're feeling this. And in them Louis Vuittons, girl, you be killing it. This is something that I've been on. And your body I can send on. Friend zone, I'm just asking what the fuck is that. You not trying to fall in love, good luck with that. Cause your mama say better get stuck with that. And your friends say he is where the buzz is at. So, why you trying to act mean, girl? When you know your boy tighter than them skinny jeans, girl. Spit like a list, but I gotta keep it clean, girl. You just gotta try me once, I'm a fiend, girl. Dream, girl. Something like Beyonce ring, girl. Something like Beyonce one day. Maybe a bunch of kids like the Brady. Trying to say the world why Clef on some Haiti. Lately, baby, I think I can change for you. Got a boy playing a new game
so
for you.
Let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor.
To the sun, you worked all day, got a little bit done. That's okay, now the night begins. As long as we don't go home tonight, never ends. So, oh, yo, we way past go. Collect 200, now let's head to the show. See your favorite band with a drink in the hand. The way you look at me, it's clear I'm the man. But this ain't about me, this about you. The way you're looking at me is how I'm looking at you. With them cat eye shades, thin little waist, thick gold ass and the lips that taste. Say what you think about, she said nothing. It's easy to see that heart start to pumping. Pulse increasing, cheeks start to blushing. But do you wanna be starting some? Mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Mama say, mama say, mama kusa. Your mama don't like me, daddy wanna fight me. I don't really care, you down or not. We can hop in the truck, drive far away. And with a little luck, maybe you stay. In my bed, rest your head. And we can think about the greatest day.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy another simulcast of TP the Topolsky Podcast.
And the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
Starts right now as we break down the card for Extreme Rules this Sunday. WWE bringing their follow-up to WrestleMania. And Extreme Rules. They actually spell it with an S now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, no Z?
You noticed that.
It's the one night that WWE goes extreme out of the year. And I actually like Extreme Rules. Now, people have, like, these things where they don't like the gimmick shows or what they call them, like the TLCs and the Elimination Chambers, which I guess is no more, the Hell in a Cells or whatever. I like these shows. I've always, like, I've said it before, like, my favorite division back in the Attitude Era, you know, and when it was around up until 2002 was the Hardcore division.
Yes.
I loved Hardcore. Hardcore Battle Royal was my favorite thing off of WrestleMania 2000. And I love that I got to talk to Bob Holly about it that one time. But I love the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. There's a lot of matches, a variety of stipulations this time around. Very different from last year. So I'm excited for it, TP.
Do you feel like this is an appropriate follow-up to what was widely considered one of the best WrestleManias of all time?
Well, here's the thing. Now, one thing I've always wondered is why do you go straight into a gimmick show, like an Extreme Rules? Like, yeah, I always loved back in the day how it went from, like, WrestleMania to Backlash, right? And it was always the fallout from WrestleMania spilled over into this. You had rematches from, you know, you always had rematches and all that stuff. So I always loved Backlash.
If I'm not mistaken, Hulk Hogan defeated Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship at Backlash. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you might be right. 2002 or 3?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, I mean, you know, Backlash had its share of big moments as well.
Yeah, no, yeah. Backlash was fun. Backlash... was rocking. I remember. I think Rock and Mankind worked a Backlash main event. Like, I mean, it's always been that show that was like the bleed over from Mania, kind of continuing those storylines. And you know, Mania now is kind of like the ending of the storybook, and then they opened up for a new chapter. But back then, Backlash was when that chapter was finally ended, closed, and then they went into it. But now they have Extreme Rules, and like I said, I like the gimmick shows, and there's some really interesting matchups. on this card with, like I said, some interesting stipulations ranging from Russian chain matches to steel cage where the RKO is banned, last man standing, Chicago street fight, a kiss me arse match.
God.
All kinds of things going on.
Well, we're
going
to break down the card starting from bottom to top, and this is according to WWE.com, so this is their order in which we're breaking it down. So don't give us any heat if we talk about the Divas match first. But that is the first matchup on their list, and it is a Divas Championship match featuring the beautiful and voluptuous Nikki Bella taking on another rising star in the Divas division, Naomi. And I think there are some people that would pay good money to receive the rear view from her.
Yeah, I definitely think there might be a line out the door for that one.
Yeah.
Interesting, you know, the match started off with, you know, we saw the Divas Battle Royal in the UK. Paige won, big pop for Paige in her home country. And then, boom, Naomi comes out of nowhere and turns heel. Now, I think she turned heel because this is where I'm confused, because Nikki Bella's been a heel, and then now Naomi's a heel, right? And this will actually lead into something that I realized later in this pay-per-view. It's a similar dynamic that's going on. So I was a little confused about that, but I love Naomi's heel turn, and she cut a really good promo on Raw, not this last week, but week before last, and it was incredible. But I think, TP, that the best diva in the world today is Nikki Bella. Not only does she encapsulate the beauty of what we always see a diva, or the allure and desire of, that men have for her, but also she's a great in-ring competitor, has come leaps and bounds. I can't say it enough, from when she first started with the company, I think 07, 08. She is an incredible in-ring performer, and I think she's really good at being a heel. Like, I mean, she's easy to hate. I would think if you're a woman, like you see Nikki Bella and you're like, wow, she has it all. She has the top guy in the company. So, I mean, she's a good heel. And I think Naomi's going to have a good run. This is her first opportunity to be a heel in the company. I'm excited for this match, but I think Nikki Bella walks out Divas champion.
Well, you know, one thing that I would definitely agree with is I think right now she's definitely the crown jewel of the Divas division. I think she makes a fantastic Divas champion. And overall, I think that Nikki Bella, if she is given the opportunity to have a nice long run with the title, could perhaps be the best heel Divas or women's champion in the history of WWE.
I think she's got a shot.
I think she's extremely effective as a heel. I wouldn't want to see her work in a babyface run. I don't think it would be nearly as effective. I think she wins this match, and I think she continues the momentum well into the year. I see no reason for that title to go anywhere else anytime soon.
Now, I think Naomi will be the one to take the title off her. I do believe that, but I don't believe it's going to be at Extreme Rules. I think, like what you said, she has the ability. You know, there's a lot of talk about the recently retired AJ Lee being one of the greatest divas of all time, and she had some incredible moments and was involved in a lot of major storylines over the company over the last several years. But Nikki Bella, in my opinion, just has it all. To me, and I know I'm going to catch some flack for this, but to me, she's like the new version of Trish Stratus in a lot of ways. She wasn't great when she started out, but she's great in-ring performer now, really good as a heel, could be a babyface if she wanted to. Now, I agree that she's a better heel, but she could be a massive babyface if she wanted to. And she just has the full package. And she has in-ring work, the looks, the heel persona. She's on the reality show. She does the red carpet. She's on the cover of Muslim Fitness with her sister. She has this mainstream appeal to her. I do agree with you. I think she could be one of, if not the biggest diva in the company's history.
Absolutely. Well,
who are you picking for the winner, though? Who are you going with?
Oh, well, like I said, I got Nikki in
okay,
this
yeah.
one.
Okay, yeah. So we're agreeing.
I don't, I mean, and that's no disrespect meant to Naomi. She's come a long way, but Nikki Bella is, she is the woman right now, and I think she will be for some time. Our next matchup that we're covering is the Intercontinental Championship up for grabs. The brand new Intercontinental Champion who captured the title in a brutal ladder match at WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan, going one-on-one with Bad News Barrett. Your thoughts on this match?
Well, I did see on Monday Night Raw they said this match might not even happen. There is a chance this match might not go down because Daniel Bryan has not been is not in good health, according to reports online. He injured himself on the European tour. He was pulled off of that tour, We have not seen him wrestle on Raw in the past couple of weeks. So this match might not even happen.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that I might draw a little bit of heat from. Is this a work? We've talked before about the reality era.
Yeah.
And the underdog story that is Daniel Bryan. No better reason to, I guess, let me put it this way. Making a compelling storyline for Daniel Bryan, a guy that has been an underdog several times, but now once again he's a champion. Why not come into this and say, well, this match may not happen because, once again, he's facing a serious injury?
Now, and it could be because if you think about it, it's a direct clone of what happened the year before. He has a big match at WrestleMania, wins a championship, and by the next pay-per-view, he's, like, injured and can't defend it. You know what I mean? So it could happen. It could be a story is what I'm saying. It could be a work, but I don't think it is. I think he came back too soon. Like, literally, he announced his return to the ring the day that he was cleared. You know what I mean? And on his own volition, he wanted to come back. And understandably, he's a competitor. I don't know. I'm not his doctor. I don't know his medical records. I don't know all this stuff. But I just from the reports and what we can see and hear about, I don't know if it was a good idea for him to return at the time that he did. And he even said it on Jericho's podcast. He's been beat up after these matches. Like, they're taking more out of him. And I don't know if you chalk that up to being out for a year and having some ring rust, or you chalk that up into the guy's been wrestling for however long, a decade or more, and it's finally caught up to him. He has a real high-impact style. You know, the guy does the bumps on the back of his neck and jumps off the ropes to the outside and all that stuff. So, I mean, it could be a work, but I don't think it is, and I hope to see this match go on. And if it does go on, Daniel Bryan has to retain the Intercontinental Championship. It wouldn't make any sense for him to drop it that quickly.
Even though I've asked the question, I don't believe that it's a work either. I do believe this is legitimate, and that's why I think if this matchup does take place, Bad News Barrett becomes the new Intercontinental Champion. Daniel Bryan, if this is true, needs some time away. He needs some time off to heal himself. Otherwise, it will be a very short career in the WWE for Daniel Bryan. And I don't think that's something that either of us, nor himself, or the WWE universe wants to see happen. So if this matchup does take place, I believe Bad News Barrett will figure out a way to get the cheap victory and maybe a bullhammer and win the Intercontinental title.
Okay. So you're going with Barrett.
I got Barrett on that one. The next matchup features two more titles on the line as Tyson Kidd and Cesaro take on The New Day. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro establishing themselves as one of the best tag teams we've seen some time in WWE. Disagree?
No, I really like them together. They were kind of thrown together. It didn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, I think this is a good role for Cesaro. This might be the thing that finally he works in this tag team for a couple years. I think he should be in this tag team for the long haul. In a couple of years and finally be able to spin off into a star, much like, you know, Hart Foundation, Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart got the spin off. Bret Hart spun off into the Hitman. You know, I think this could be Cesaro's launching pad, which we thought it might have been last year when he was teamed with Heyman, but it didn't pan out that way. So I think this is his launching pad. But it's interesting. This was the other match I was referring to. The New Day freshly heel, right? And they solidified that heel turn this past Monday on Raw when Xavier Woods cheated against the Lucha Dragons to get them this opportunity. But also, look at these two guys. Look at these guys are heels. These champions, they're heels.
Referring to Kidd and Cesaro.
Yeah, they come out with Natalya. They're heels, all right? I mean, they've been heels.
And I asked this question when we did the simulcast last month, is are we headed for a, we talk about the reality era, a time when heels and faces sort of erode a little bit, that line becomes blurred, and it's more reality-based. I mean, Kidd and Cesaro may work as heels, but they have a tremendous amount of support from the crowd right now.
Well, they do. They're crowd favorites. You know, I mean, they're the smart marquee guys who, you know, they're the ones they love. That particular fan base, the vocal minority.
Oh, hold on a second. Are you talking about the internet sports entertainment community?
You heard about this as well, yes.
Yes.
That's who I'm referring to,
okay.
The internet sports entertainment community.
Yes.
And I think they have that support, but they're heels. On television, this is what I'm going by. I just went on a rant. I don't know if you're aware on my wrestling,
I listened,
on my show.
I listened to your wrestling rant Monday morning during my commute.
Yes.
Yes.
And to me, you know, people say that Tyson Kidd's have all been buried, whatever, and the New Day's been buried, whatever. Shut the hell up, guys. I'm watching this as a television show, all right? And on television, both these teams are heels. So that's what doesn't make sense to me. They're both bad guys. So who do I root for, TP? Who are you rooting for?
Well, I'll tell you this much. In the words of Bret the Hitman Hart, who was recently at Reality of Wrestling, he said, you know, the WWE has a lot of hungry competitors right now. And I was thinking to myself, do they actually feed these wrestlers, you know, before? Because he talked about how hungry they were. And Tyson Kidd and Cesaro are two hungry competitors. I mean, look at Cesaro. This is a big man. He has to eat a lot.
He does.
Which means he's probably hungry all the time. You know that hunger. It's a burning desire inside these guys to get some food. Very hungry competitors.
They are. So they're starving.
They're starving. Yeah. Very, very hungry. So I got to go with them, not because of their hunger, but because of the fact that Tyson Kidd and Cesaro are just a great tag team. And, you know, it's interesting because many times you throw two guys together who have been singles competitors for most of their careers. These two gentlemen, I don't believe, have worked together all that much outside of WWE. And it's difficult to get them to gel. They have gelled very, very quickly. They look like they've been working together for 10 years.
Yeah, they're great. I like them together.
Individually, you know, as it's been said, you know, Cesaro's had his issues maintaining his over status with the crowd. Tyson Kidd has had several attempts at trying to establish himself as a singles competitor, this latest run coming out of NXT back into WWE. But I think together they make a collective unit which could be a real force in the tag team division for some time to come. So I have them pegged to retain the titles.
Yeah, I do too. I haven't pegged as well. I don't think they're going to lose to the New Day. And I like Kofi Kingston, Big E Langston.
But you're not high on the New Day?
I'm not high on the New Day. I'm not in love with the New Day. But I will make this prediction on this show.
Yes.
That Tyson Kidd Cesaro will lose those tag team championships in the near future against the Lucha Dragons.
Okay, you heard it here first.
And the Lucha Dragons will be the first tag team to win both NXT Tag Team Championships and the WWE Tag Team Championships.
Bold prediction right there from Brad Gilmore. Let us know what you think on Twitter. You can hit us up at
Brad Gilmore.
Or at Matt Topolsky on Twitter.
You know, or at Brad Gilmore Show. I do have a show Twitter.
But you don't use it.
I don't. I'm really bad at it.
Yeah.
But follow it, and I might use it more.
You should talk to our friend Chuck. I hear he's really good with social media. He might be able to work that for you.
I got it. What up, Chuck Rice?
You know?
Yeah.
He can get on that for you. Our next match is a Kiss Me Arse match. I love these, actually. One of my favorite matches of all time, the Kiss Me Arse match. Do you remember the last Kiss Me Arse match?
I don't remember the Kiss Me Arse match, but I remember the Kiss My Ass match.
The what?
The Kiss My Ass
Watch
match.
Watch your language, Gilmore. Well, Dolph Ziggler takes on Sheamus for respect. I'm confused by really what's going on here. I'm not really looking forward to this matchup all that much, to be honest with you. And I was excited with the return of heel Sheamus, but I'm not very happy with how it's been going. Like, beating people up while cutting promos at the same time. He seems more like I don't know, kind of like a douchebag than a heel, really.
Well, look at his haircut, TP.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't think this heel turn for Sheamus is going to work out.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Really?
I like the new music. I like the new look. I like that he has, like, beaded beards. You know, I think he's an interesting...
He's got multiple beards.
Yeah, he does. Look, it's a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
But I think this version of Sheamus might be the version that finally kind of you can't be a face with that. You can't be a face with that face right now. And going against Ziggler, who's like the number one fan favorite, I think a lot of people would say. I mean, it might be able to solidify him as a heel. He definitely goes over Ziggler. Ziggler has to kiss me arse. So is this? So are they gonna roll down their like tights and they're gonna have to kiss their butt?
There's gonna be if Ziggler were to lose this match, there is going to be a pale white ass, which is going to blind the entire front row.
Well, let's think about this though. Let's think about the good Kiss My Ass matches in the history of WWE. There's been two others that I know of.
Yeah.
There was The Rock versus Billy Gunn.
Okay.
I think it Fully Loaded 2000 or something like that. And then there was most famous one. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Owen Hart at SummerSlam when Austin was dropped on his head. That was a Kiss My Ass match.
Was it really?
It was a Kiss My Ass match.
Well, there was no ass kissing at the end of
there
the match.
There was no ass kissing.
Yeah.
It was a kiss. I think the stipulation was, now I could be 100% wrong. It might have not been a kiss my ass stipulation, but I think it was. But maybe the stipulation was, if Austin lost, he'd have to kiss Owen's ass.
Oh. Well, this is a kiss me arse match, and this is a little bit different. Because an arse will be kissed, not an ass. Who do you got in this one? You
Sheamus. Sheamus.
I'm going to have to go with that as well. I think Sheamus is going to continue to get pushed to the moon as a heel until either this thing works or until people just openly reject it completely. And the jury is still out on that. And to clarify, I am a fan of heel Sheamus, just not this version of it. Next, the spot fest continues with last man standing between Roman Reigns and The Big Show. Roman Reigns going from the main event of WrestleMania to wrestling The Big Show in what could be one of the opening matches on the card. Your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to be opening match. I think it's going to be I'll say this. It could either be the very first match after the kickoff show, or it will be second to last, in my opinion. I mean, you got to think about Roman Reigns. As much as people wanted to dog on him for looking like he was being given a spot, the guy really went and proved himself at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar and delivered a hell of a main event. One of my favorite—I liked WrestleMania 31's main event more than WrestleMania 30's. You know, I mean, Daniel Bryan, it was his year, but I really loved this 31 main event. I it's the last man standing. They're using the Big Show as a kind of a space filler, if you will, until an eventual. Which the rumor is a triple threat match at Payback between Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Roman's going to get his title. He's got to win that title. I don't know when. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next. Roman's going to be a champion. And I think right now they're really trying to get the fan base to really welcome him in. And I think, you know, if he just goes out there and he's a badass and he's spearing people off top of something, I don't know. If he's just doing cool stuff, he'll get over. Like gangbusters. And he's already over, but he'll get over with everybody. And, he's going to win this match against the Big Show.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
People have talked a lot about Roman Reigns, but I don't think that Big Show has really gotten the discussion recently that he deserves. What lies in the future for the Big Show? Is this his final year, do you believe, in the business? And what do you think the problem is with the Big Show? Because he's involved in the program each and every week. He's not a part-time wrestler. He's there week in and week out, appearing on Raw, on SmackDown, on all the pay-per-views. And he's been a face. He's been a heel. He's been a face. He's been a heel. He's been a face. He's been a heel. He's been a face.
Yeah. Times 40.
What is the problem with not being able to fit the Big Show into a program somewhere?
Big Show right now, he's a utility. You know, he's a utility player. In my estimation... He's the guy that you go to when you're like, all right, he's obviously the largest athlete in the world, right? Remember when you were a fan, right? When you were little, and or even younger in high school, and you saw the Big Show wrestle on television against it was as the Giant or as the Big Show. When someone beat him, you were still impressed, even though people beat him all the time. You're still like, man, he beat the Big Show, you know.
But
I mean?
Now it's sort of expected. Because if you think about it,
here's what I have to remember. To us, it's expected because we're watching this stuff, we're analyzing it, we know about it. To the majority of the audience who are kids, I think still there's the vocal minority, but there's the minority.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the population who watches professional wrestling are kids, probably in elementary, middle, high school, right? And they.
So you're saying that we're doing advanced calculus and everyone else is doing basic addition on this thing?
Yes. Yeah, I think the majority – this is my issue,
okay.
Is we sit here and we say
– So we need to dumb it down.
Say the Big Show is this. Everyone beats him. Heel turn, la, 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 right? But at the end of the day
– Well, then
if you're a 9-year-old kid and you see the Big Show, you're like, that's a big dude. And even – I never expected when I was younger that the Big Show was going to lose just based upon size. Even in the Royal Rumbles, even though you know that was his spot that everyone teams up on him. You still always you couldn't count out the Big Show when I was little. I was like, you can't count out Paul White. This is the man, right? He's large. He's 7 foot tall, 500 pounds, whatever. And I'm looking at now. I'm going to start looking at wrestling through rose-colored glasses. I'm going to be a kid again. I'm not going to try to overanalyze why. Well, you know, and this isn't like a offensive to your question or whatever. But I'm saying, like,
well, I'll be the judge of that.
But I'm just saying, like I'm not gonna. I don't want to look at like why can't they figure out what to do with the Big Show? He's the Big Show. He's over. He will always be over. I don't think this
I disagree
is his last
with
year.
That.
I don't think this is his last
I
year.
I disagree with that completely. He gets booed everywhere he goes.
He's a heel.
But even when he was a face, he was getting booed.
So is John Cena.
Oh, so now he's polarizing.
Yeah, he's polarizing.
God. See, this is why we can't have any real conversations. This is why we can't have any real conversations.
But
think that this is Big Show's last year?
No, I think he has maybe 2-3 more years as a full-time wrestler. Then he'll go into part-time.
What do you think, if you could put your mind in Big Show for a minute, if you could be a fly on the wall inside his mind right
yeah.
now, okay? What do you think the Big Show's thinking about all this? Do you think the Big Show's happy with the way he's being utilized?
Yeah. I mean, why not? He's still in semi-main events. He realizes he's past. It's not the Attitude Era. It's not Ruthless Aggression anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, his time on top is behind him. But that doesn't mean he can't still contribute. And
you
I think
he'll get one more run, kind of like they did with Mark Henry?
As world champion?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't think we'll see another world champion run. But I think Big Show, we got to think, in the last 2 years, the guys Big Show's worked with, you know, he's been world champion against Alberto Del Rio. He's worked Roman Reigns. He worked Brock Lesnar, a program with Brock Lesnar. I mean, he's been in main events against Randy Orton at Survivor Series for the world title. I mean, so I really don't think Big Show's like, oh, I got a bad position in this company. He's like, I work with Mayweather. I work with Aki Bono, right? I worked with, Lesnar. I worked as a world champion. I worked main events with a world champion. I'm in a semi-main with the next guy. You think that's a bad position?
I didn't say that. I was simply asking questions.
I'm just asking. I think it's a great position.
Questions. One more question about Big Show before we move on. Because Big Show in his position right now really fascinates me. At the end of his career, after naming those names and others that Big Show's worked with, because Big Show's worked with Hogan as well when he was the Giant, even.
Mm-hmm. Beating Hogan for the world title in his first
match. Who had the better career as a Giant, Andre or Big Show?
Yikes. Who had the better career as a Giant?
Yes.
Well, I mean, as a Giant. As a Giant, Andre the Giant. Because he was the big name. He was the eighth wonder of the world. Everyone knows him. My mother knows who Andre the Giant is, you know, and she never was a fan of wrestling. You know, he's one of those guys. My girlfriend's sister, who plays in a, like, folk singing group, right, has an Andre the Giant sticker on her guitar case, right? I mean, she's not a wrestling fan, but she just, it's one of those guys. You just know Andre the Giant. So when you talk about who had the better career as a Giant, you know, Princess Bride, you know, you talk about Andre the Giant. But when you talk about who's had the better career as a professional wrestler, Big Show. In my opinion.
Interesting. Well, we move on to a street fight of sorts, a Chicago street fight featuring Luke Harper versus the Lunatic Fringe, Dean Ambrose. Are you excited for this match, Brad?
Hey, I love me a good street fight, and I love Dean Ambrose. I think this is – Dean Ambrose needs to get into that main event picture. That's where he's going to be. We also need to see Dean Ambrose become a heel. I think if we go heel Ambrose, think about this. Think about Seth Rollins – the Authority's banned, right, from ringside in the main event. And this is fantasy booking. Authority's banned at ringside, but Dean Ambrose isn't banned. What if Dean Ambrose comes in and saves Seth Rollins and reunites with him and turns heel again? I think that we need something out of Dean Ambrose than what he's doing right now. I love him. I think he's a future star. I think he's a future world champion. But I think we need a little more out of Dean Ambrose. And these matches, the Lunatic Fringe, this is where he can get kind of crazy. This is where he can do his elbow spots, you know, all the stuff that we like to see him do. Luke Harper's another big dude and someone who I think was the shining diamond out of the in the rough out of the Wyatt family, if you compare him to Eric Rowan. Has a huge upside in future in this business, in the WWE, because he's already made a name in the business. But I go Dean Ambrose on this one. I think he's going to win decisively with some crazy spot, and I like it.
Okay. I agree with you. I think Dean Ambrose goes over in this one. I also agree with your sentiment that we need to see something else.
Yeah.
The time has come, and I think that there is a considerable amount of as a matter of fact, I know there's a considerable amount of untapped potential which exists within Dean Ambrose. All you need to do is YouTube John Moxley promos.
Yeah.
And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. If you see that, and if he's given the opportunity to organically grow himself, that guy could catch like wildfire. He really could.
Yeah, a lot of people said it, but I think he is. If he's a heel and they let him kind of do what he wants, you know, even when he was like joking around when he was in that program with Seth Rollins and he was doing the things like, I got a Sheamus t-shirt. Anyone want to buy this for a quarter? Yeah. You know, and stuff like that. And look, they sent the cruiserweight division to get me. Like that off the cuff Dean Ambrose, where he's showing his personality. But as a heel, he could be the second coming of Roddy Piper. If they let him loose, just to give him a little bit of a slack on his leash, let him be a heel, he's going to be incredible. It's bound to happen. He's been a face for over a year. We're going to see a heel turn here in the near future, hopefully.
Well, speaking of heel versus heel, the United States Championship is up for grabs. It is John Cena versus Rusev in a Russian chain match. And once again, can you recall some of the great Russian chain matches in wrestling history, Brad? What was your favorite?
Well, according to Michael Cole, this is the first televised Russian chain match. Now, I've never seen one at a live event, so I've never seen a Russian chain match before. But this is akin to the Texas Bull Rope match. It's similar. I think they're going to be chained at the wrist to one another, and you got to touch all four corners consecutively to win the match. And John Cena, obviously, is going to go over because he's John Cena. He's newly the United States champion. We're going to continue this build. I hope they have a plan for Rusev after this. Maybe a Rusev-Roman Reigns program would be something that people would like to see. I would like to see that, or something in that vein. I would like to see Rusev versus Brock Lesnar down the line. I think that'd be awesome. I don't know if he's there yet from a character standpoint, but I'd love to see that. But John Cena wins, and they give them this Russian chain stipulation, I think, so Rusev, once again, doesn't get pinned or submits again, you know. You could still write it off as John Cena got the best of him, but only from the distraction from Lana or whatever, right? So it still gives Rusev that edge, that undefeated mentality almost. And if he loses by touching four corners, I mean, come on. I think I could beat Rusev in a four corners match. You know what I mean? So I mean, it's just it's a cool little gimmick. It's a Russian chain match. It's the rematch. This is the third match in their rivalry. This is the last time we're going to see him wrestle for the United States Championship. John Cena wins. Boom. And I love the Open Challenge. The U.S. Open, awesome.
Well, I was a little disappointed on Monday night that we didn't get to see Heath Slater face Cena for the championship, because I don't even think we would be talking about this matchup for the U.S. title right now had Slater gotten that opportunity.
He would have gone over.
I really think he would
Unless
have.
Unless Cena hit him with that springboard stunner, which I actually really love.
Well, I have to disagree with you on the finish for this one. I got to go with Rusev. I think there's more to be seen between these two. And if you talk about wanting to elevate the United States Championship, what better way to do it than to continue a program between one of the biggest stars in the last 10 years in John Cena and a guy
who
has established himself as one of the future forces in WWE. And that is Rusev. And Rusev, up to this point, has only lost to John Cena. So what a better way for him to take the title back than to do it in this chain match. He doesn't beat Cena clean. It continues the storyline progressing on in the future. And once again, Cena is chasing for the title. Those are my thoughts.
Good point. I mean, I disagree, though. I think John Cena goes over. But, I mean, what you said, it could be feasible, it could be possible, I think it's improbable, but whatever.
Well, but whatever.
But whatever.
We have reached the climax of Extreme Rules, a championship steel cage match, the WWE heavyweight title up for grabs, Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton. The RKO is banned. I think we both can agree this is Seth Rollins, no?
Yeah, no, it's Seth Rollins. And what's funny is the RKO is banned, and what I've been reading online is that the curb stomp is no longer going to be Seth Rollins' finishing maneuver. WWE has banned it. Because due to head injuries or potential head injuries, which I found incredible, because that finishing move is awesome. I love the curb stomp. It's the perfect finisher. because you can do it to everybody, come out of nowhere. I mean, it's just like the RKO. You can do it to anybody, come out of nowhere. But Seth Rollins, I mean, there's not really much to say about this. Randy Orton, though, is, I think, getting to that next phase of his career where he is over like gangbusters right now. I've used that term too many times this podcast, but he's over like Rover, if you will. And I think this is the point, though, where Randy Orton's going to – well, some people didn't think it, but I think Randy Orton can reach another height. I really think he can. And we're in the middle of that, but he's not going to take off Seth Rollins, you know, after a month of being the WWE champion. How do you feel, though, about – do you buy Seth Rollins as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
Well, you know, as I said, when I accurately predicted a month ago
– that is true.
That Seth Rollins would become the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion and that he would do it at WrestleMania, I said that he would be billed as a, quote, chicken shit heel.
Yes.
And since I've said that, multiple former WWE superstars on their podcasts have used that exact same phrase, but Topolsky got it first. They have also said that he is being booked as a chicken shit heel, and he is brilliant at it.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Seth Rollins, and the more I see from Seth Rollins, the more I say this guy could be one of the biggest stars of all time. He's the total package, not Lex Luger. He's got it all. He has it all. I hope he is a heel for life. And I hope he holds on to that title until Brock Lesnar shows up again.
And then Brock takes him out for it?
And then I think him and Brock have that showdown that everybody's looking forward to. Maybe it'll happen at SummerSlam. Who knows? A boy can dream. But Seth Rollins is fantastic. Randy Orton is fantastic right now, but Orton doesn't need the title.
No, he doesn't.
And
he's a made man.
He is a made man. And so Seth Rollins will go over in this one. And who knows? Maybe a Phoenix splash from the top of the cage.
That'd be pretty interesting. That might be his new finisher.
You know?
You never know what his new finish is going to be. I agree with you about Seth Rollins. He could be a huge star. Multiple people have said it, and I agree. He's kind of like if you took all the great things about Jeff Hardy and mixed them with all the great things about CM Punk and then even added an extra layer on top of there, which is Tyler Black, Seth Rollins. Yeah, he has the potential to be huge as a babyface, though, in my mind. If he's this heel run for a while, and then once he turns, he's going to go out for a little while, going to come back a massive baby.
Well, let us know what you think about Extreme Rules occurring this Sunday on the WWE Network. I think, are they giving away another month for free?
Yeah, April is free for new subscribers on the WWE Network. A lot of new content going up, including the Hulk Hogan Rock and Wrestling cartoons are now up there.
I've heard.
Like 300 new episodes of Monday Night Raw from the Attitude Era is up. There's some cool stuff on the network right now. Corey Graves has a new show. Jerry Springer has a new show coming out on the WWE Network for $9.99.
Well, I'm excited to check it out this Sunday. A lot of great things I think are going to come from this, especially in the main event, Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. Like I said, let us know what you think. Hit me up at Matt Topolsky on Twitter and, of course,
at Brad Gilmore or at Brad Gilmore Show.
Brad, you got some big things coming up on your podcast, too.
Yeah, I got a lot of podcasts. Let's put that out there
podcasts.
For now. The Brad Gilmore Show, obviously, the premier podcast, if you will, of Texas.
The flagship
of Texas podcasting. But that's the main show. We'll always have new content every I'm going back to Mondays. I've switched my days so many. My schedule's changed, but Mondays are going to be the Brad Gilmore Show. But this podcast, obviously on a Sunday, happy belated birthday, by the way, TP.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
You're just as old as WrestleMania.
I am.
But anyway, the Brad Gilmore Show, but we have a couple other things. Heated Conversations, of course, Booker T and myself. Got some cool art. Shout out to Grant Perkins for that cool artwork that he sent me for that. And, though, what I'm working on now, what I've been working on for weeks, episodes starting this weekend for Back to the Future, the podcast, my retrospective series on one of the greatest trilogies of all time, Back to the Future. Going to be talking to people who are involved with the movies, who acted in the movies, who did the special effects on the movies, guys who have projects that spawned off the movies, documentaries, books, I mean, the whole nine yards, plus in-depth looks and in retrospective at these three films. Going to break them down, give you all the Easter eggs, give you all the back behind-the-scenes things. It's going to be an awesome thing. So it's Back to the Future podcast on iTunes and backtothefuture.podbean.com.
Celebrating the 30th anniversary.
2015, what better year to do it? Celebrating 30 years of an amazing film franchise to which I've gotten to experience 22 of those years. 2015, Back to the Future podcast, presented by Brad Gilmore. What up?
Well, I got some cool things coming up as well. Next week on the show, I'm going to be talking Pacquiao Mayweather, the super fight, which is supposed to occur on May the 2nd. that is if someone signs a contract over at MGM. But I'll be talking with Kelsey McCarson from The Sweet Science about that, as well as Brad Gilmore.
Yeah, I'll be on that one.
And a few other invited guests as well. So make sure to check out more information about that at matttopolsky.com. And also on Twitter, at Matt Topolsky, my official Facebook page, facebook.com/TheMattTopolsky. That's a mouthful. thanks for being here, my friend, for
another
simulcast
of TP the Topolsky podcast and
the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
Yeah. See y'all next week.
Oh, Brian, what have you done now?